Hopes for a Middle East ceasefire remain alive despite a deadly Palestinian attack this morning. Seven people died and nearly 30 were injured in a suicide bombing aboard a bus in northern Israel. Prime Minister Ariel Sharon blamed Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat for not preventing the attack, but Israel refrained from immediate retaliation. A joint security meeting was held in spite of the blast, and U.S. officials again pressed Arafat to halt the attacks. NPR's Peter Kenyon reports.
The weather turned colder this week, so most rush hour passengers on bus 823 from Tel Aviv to Nazareth weren't unduly alarmed when the burly, bearded Palestinian man got on wearing a winter coat. But two stoplights later, survivors said he detonated a bomb, strewing glass, metal, and severed limbs across the road. The dead included four Israeli soldiers, and according to Israel Radio, some of the victims were Arab Israelis. With Vice President Dick Cheney's visit barely over, the political shockwaves were felt immediately. Israeli spokesman Gideon Meir told Israeli television that Arafat's intentions were once again clear.
Despite Israel's gestures of goodwill, Palestinian terror continues. It is obvious now who wants peace and who wants to continue the terror campaign against innocent Israelis.
Israel did not launch an immediate military response, as it typically does in these cases. The attack was claimed by the Islamic Jihad faction, and the Palestinian Authority quickly condemned the bombing. The PA called for a halt to all attacks within Israel. Israeli officials pointed out that still left open the possibility of more attacks against soldiers and settlers in the West Bank and Gaza Strip, but Israel decided to go ahead with a joint security meeting that may make the ceasefire possible. Palestinian spokesman Yasser Abed Rabo said the authority is prepared to take on security responsibilities, but its forces are still reeling from a wave of Israeli military strikes that ended only after envoy Anthony Zinni arrived.
Sharon had destructed our jails, the offices of the Palestinian police, and now he is demanding that we are obliged to do our maximum.
In Turkey, an American official told reporters traveling with Vice President Cheney that today's attack shows how important it is for Arafat to exert 100% effort to halt the violence. The size of the challenge facing Arafat and his security forces was made clear today by a leading Hamas official. Abdelaziz Rentisi said his faction was in no mood to lay down its weapons.
We are struggling against occupation, so there is no way to say ceasefire.
On the Israeli right wing, politicians were already preparing to declare the ceasefire dead on arrival. Cabinet Minister Reuven Rivlin said he believes Sharon has no expectations that Arafat will hold up his end of a ceasefire.
We are under the thought that Arafat maybe would like to bring the whole region to a sort of an explosion once he is going on his way to Beirut.
Arafat would like to travel to Beirut later this month for an Arab summit, at which the Saudi Mideast peace proposal will be a major topic of discussion. Sharon today had no comment on whether Arafat would be allowed to leave the country. In another development, Palestinians won a victory in the Israeli High Court today, which ruled that two Palestinians were eligible for civil damages due to their treatment by Israeli soldiers during the First Intifada some 14 years ago. The High Court rejected the Israeli argument that all military actions in the Palestinian territories should be covered by a blanket act of war exemption to the civil liability law. The court ruled that whether the war exemption applies must be decided on a case-by-case basis. Palestinian and Israeli civil rights lawyers hailed the ruling as an important signal that Israel may be held accountable for its army's conduct in the West Bank and Gaza Strip. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Jerusalem.